Lord, for gathering us together. Every time, Lord God, you do that, you don't do it for nothing, Lord. It's always something that you have for us, Lord. We've come around the table, Lord. Pray, Father, that you serve the table in our hearts, Lord. We're waiting to hear from you, Father, because, Lord, your word is food indeed to us, Lord, and is drink indeed, Lord God, to our hearts, Father. Father, we now commit the service to you. There's some people, Father, who are away. I don't know whether Sister Esther is coming, Lord. Father, bless her as she comes, Lord. And those people who are listening in, Lord, pray, Father, that bless them as you bless us, Lord. As Brother Dawn and Sister Dawn, Lord, go away, we pray, Father, that you be with them, Lord. Watch over them, Lord God, down the road, Lord. Sister Rebecca, Lord God, and Cameroon, Lord, and the mother there, Father, we commit them to thee, Lord. We pray, Father, that you bless them in a mighty way. As Michael said, Lord, he has something, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you be with him. Encourage him, Lord God. Give him courage as he goes to that, Lord. So, bride and husband is coming, Lord. We pray for that journey, Lord. We pray that, Lord God, you give them journey masses, Lord. In all things, we give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I can get seated. I was thinking what to bring, and I'm looking at the book, you know, the book for the second time, I found out that the book is a long something that cannot be talked. I mean, you can preach it in a day or in one sermon. So I look for something small here that we can share. I don't know whether maybe. Maybe the other people here maybe understand it, but maybe the people online and maybe the girls, the children, our children, maybe want to hear some things from it. It's just a simple thing. It's just a simple thing that I decided to bring just for today. So it's just about John. It's about John. We hear that. The Revelation, the book of Revelation, and how it was written. It was wrote by somebody that was called John. And by the way, I have your greetings from Vicar Church. They said that I greet you. Brother Joseph also sent his greetings to you. He was in Vicar Church this morning. And the other churches, there's another church, Brother Francis, and the church here, they sent you their greetings. So now, I want to start over here in Revelation 1, and because that is where we want to go. That is how John, in fact, I bring a lot of drama when I bring this, but why I was doing that in Kenya was because I wanted to stir them a bit, because they don't some people don't believe in this. So I just wanted to start them a bit so that they can bring some, you know, they can wake up and want to talk or want to study and look what I was saying. So the way I put it is like the book of Revelation was revealed by Brother Branham to John, and John heard it from Brother Branham. And that I dramatize it a bit, I make it a drama a bit. I say John had to come to Brother Branham in America. John had to travel to America to hear from, I mean, to write the book of Revelation. It sounds like it's not, but that is the truth. John came to, I'm going to prove that tonight, or this morning, that John came to America. God, because that's where Brother Branham came. That's where Brother Branham said that was. And you remember, Brother Branham talked about the most free place that he brought very free sermons was in Branham's Tabernacle. That's where, if you look at the sermons like the token books, I think the tokens are four or five. I think they're four. 1964, I think there are two, and there's one in 1963. In 1963, the one is a big one, and he says a lot of things there in that book. So we find that it is in Branham's Tabernacle that he really was free. He was really free, and you remember even when he went to Tucson, and he went to Finger Rock Mountain, and when he was in the Finger Rock Mountain, he was told to go and preach the Margin Rose. You remember he came from Tucson. He came from Tucson to Jeffersonville to preach marriage and vows. You remember that? That's where he was most free when he was bringing the sermons. You also remember when he went to get the seals, when he had the seals, that was west, but he was again sent to his to Branch Tabernacle to preach those seals. So you remember, there's somewhere where God was really doing something. He was really revealing things. I'm not saying that other places he didn't, like Los Angeles, when you read the book called Choosing Our Bride, those are deep things. Those are deep things right there. But where he was really free was Branham's Tabernacle. When he went out, when we hear that he went out of the country, like Kenya, I mean, he didn't go to Kenya, but he wanted to go to Kenya and Tanzania. He didn't. There was war there that time. But you hear when he went to South Africa and India and things like that, that was healing and things like that. The deep things were preached here in America. That's why I come to say that, that's why I'm not afraid to say that John actually had to come to America to hear the things that he wrote in the book of Revelation. Now, I want to demonstrate. I want David to demonstrate. I might call some people here in the front, maybe some kids or something to help me with that. I want some demonstration here. I want some demonstration so that you see the right picture. I want four people. I want four people here who can help me. You don't have enough people. Maybe I'll just explain. I don't have my bracket, but maybe I'll just explain. But there are four people here. Let me just explain it. There are four people here in this scripture. Let's read it. It's Revelation 1. It's there. Revelation 1, 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. What John is going to write is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one. Jesus Christ is God. But now I want to separate them a bit and show you that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, I want to say that one, that one person or something. If there were three people here, I would demonstrate that. That's one person. Which God gave unto him. To who? Which God gave unto Jesus Christ. That's English. That's English. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This revelation that John is going to write here is not revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So John is going to take a pen and a paper and he's going to write the revelation of Jesus Christ. Given to him, this revelation was given by God to Jesus Christ. I think you can see it there. It's very clear there. Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants, to do what? For Jesus Christ to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That's the purpose that God gave this revelation to Jesus. Okay. And then, now those are two people now. That's God and that's Jesus Christ. And you know, people say, we can't have two gods. And that's true. We don't have two gods. Jesus Christ and God are one. They are one. We agree with that. But again, we had a man here called Jesus Christ. We had a man here called Jesus Christ. That God came from heaven and he dwelt in that man. And God and that man became one. And it's not a myth. It's not a thinking. It's a reality. It happened. That man here on earth was a man. That was man God. He was God and yet he was a man. He was total man and he was total God. But he was there. Because God is able to do those things. Why? What was it? He wanted to have a sacrifice. He wanted to have a lamp. He was the lamp of God that taken. So God created himself something that can have blood so that he can pay the sins of the world. So that man right there was actually God. It was God man. It was God man. All right. So I hope you understand that we are not preaching to God or anything like that. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead. Now we have two people now here. We have God. I'm just saying that for simplicity, for people to understand. We have four people here. We have two people here. We have God who has the revelation that he gives it to Jesus Christ, the second person. Okay. Now, and I'm saying that just for understanding,
for simplicity. I know they are not two gods, they are not two people, they are not like that. Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Okay. And he sent and signified, and he sent. Now Jesus sends it to John. There's another two people there now. There's John, and there's something else here that's going to, okay. And he sent and signified. What is to signify? To signify is to declare. It has two, three meanings like that. But one of them is to declare. It's to declare or to say it or to declare it, to say it. Amen. So this is a declaration. He's saying it. To tell him or to tell John. And said it and signified it by the angel. So there's John and there's the angel. So the people see God, the people see Jesus, the people see John, but they don't understand who this angel is. They think it's Gabriel from heaven or something like that. But now, let's go down and see. Okay. Things which must shortly come to pass. Another thing, why is he signifying it to John with an angel? Remember, with an angel. This angel must be a prophet. Because it is, this is the pattern. You call it pattern? Pattern. This is the pattern. This is the pattern. When the word of God comes here on earth, it must go to the prophet. Even Jesus Christ, when he came here on earth, you remember he went to be baptized by John? John was a prophet. He was the word. And now he said, no, you are not supposed to come to me because I'm so small. And you remember I was preaching last night, something about, maybe this morning, Enoch. You see, Enoch, and you see, there were two raptures there of Enoch, and there was another rapture of Elijah. But you wonder why God does not rapture? Because people think the way that rapture happened in their minds must happen here. And they are now seeing a difference, and they are getting confused. But God does things for his own reason. Why he raptured Enoch, I don't know why. And he didn't rapture, that's what I was saying. And he didn't rapture John. But when he comes to talk about John, he says, John, of all men that were created of God, but that has ever been born here on earth by women, the greatest of all was John the Baptist. He said that up until then, he was greater than Elijah. He was greater, yes, he was greater than, according to Jesus, he was greater, it's only Jesus who was greater than him. According to Jesus Christ. But he didn't rapture. Let me use that word rapture. Because that word rapture, I found out, that word rapture is not right. That word rapture is not right. It's not right at all. It confuses people. But he could not rapture. He didn't rapture John. He didn't rapture anybody else. He raptured, Abraham was even a great man. But he didn't rapture him. Noah was a great man. Sarah was a great man. But he didn't rapture him. He only raptured one. Why he does that, those things, I don't know. But I told them, this is one thing. When the rapture comes, listen, when the rapture comes, that rapture, you don't go nowhere with the body. This body must go back to dust. If you start your thinking about the rapture on those basis, you're going to realize that this body is not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're not flying away. Because this body must go back to dust. Remember that everyone here that is born of a woman must go back to dust. Praise be to God. I hope you understand that. Everyone must die. There's a scripture that says, and people interpret that to mean that they're not going to die. That those who arrive and remain, they interpret that. Look at it well. Look at it with your both eyes. You look at it and you say, those who remain and who arrive and remain. That means, when Jesus comes down from heaven, there is something that will be here. There will be people here that will be alive and remain. And there will be two groups of people that will be alive and remain here on earth. That will be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ who will be here, alive, not dead, alive. Part of the bride will be dead in the graves, but some of them will be alive here, alive like me. I'm alive, you arrive. You are the bride of Jesus Christ, you arrive. That does not mean you're not going to die. There's no scripture there that says you're not going to die. The scripture is, you are dust, and dust shall thou return. You are everyone must die. And maybe sometimes You wonder where all those people go. Sometimes there are some people who will be finished. Maybe I will also be there. They will be finished by atomic bomb. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's there. The Russia has it. America has it. Many countries have them now. You'll be finished by that. Whether you die by bomb or by cancer, by whatever kills you, you die. You must die. Just know that we must die. All of us must die. You know, we think that we some no. We think and something else. And I've talked to people, very senior people in this message, and I've heard some of them say the change of the body, that we're going to change the body. To what? This body will not change nothing. This body, these cells and the blood and things like that will not change nothing. The only change that happens is when he comes, you join with him, you become one. This is what happens. You become one with him. This body, this is the change. This body becomes subject. Swahili hata mtu nasema kutii. Hii mwili inatii. This body is subject. This body is now surrendered. This body is now ruled by him who is inside of you. I hope you understand that. So I'm running away from. Let me go back to this. I want just this to be short. This was a short something. I don't want to. but those things are very confusing sometimes. Those things are very confusing sometimes. Because you see, it's not. I don't know, but. It's because you are reading it with a certain kind of mentality. Because you've been taught rapture is flying away, you are reading with that kind of mentality. Leave your own understanding. Just drop it. Just look at what he says and just go by what he says. There's something that the Lord is really disturbing me with. Not disturbing, but I feel like backslid a bit. I feel like I backslid a bit. I think the Lord wants me to do something. The Lord, there's something that, I mean, not will bring it in this pulpit, but I need to bring it. I need to bring it so that it goes. Because it's really disturbing me. And I know, and I pray that you pray for me, because I don't know how to bring it. Because if I bring it, I've been touching it there and here when I talk to people. But when I bring it, I know I'm going to lose a lot of friends. But that's the thing that has really been making me not really bring it. And that is, I feel like the Lord is unhappy with me, and he's kind of, I'm backslidden a bit on that. And I need to bring it. I need to just bring it, and then whatever will happen. But I'm just going to bring it and just bring it. Not maybe in this pulpit, but I'm going to bring it. It's coming to a place where now I'm feeling I'm squeezed on the wall, and I got to do something. And you pray for me. You pray for me. And these things when they come, brother, what I'm saying, let's not have a mentality. Let's not have our own idea. Whenever you put your idea on this word, that becomes a denomination. And that removes God from that. In that economy, God is not there. In that economy where you bring your idea into something. Just remove nothing. Just say what he says. Just leave it there. I'm going to read a quote here. That there are people who can really tie you up. You can talk to some people in this world who are really good, and they studied, they know the scriptures, even this quote, they can tie you up and things like that. Baruch, this is not about tying you, it's about God revealing it to you. And unless God reveals it to you, you don't know it. It doesn't matter how much you search, it doesn't matter how much you study, it doesn't matter how much intellectual you are. You cannot understand it by any other way. God has got to be able to reveal it to you. And I say, a brother asked me a question. And he said, and I think sometimes, it's not the brother, but I think sometimes the devil traps me. The devil traps me. And he asked me a question. He asked me, you know, it's like, now you have so much revelation, brother. I can see you have so much revelation. Now tell me, were the 24 elders, you know, the 24 elders in the bride? Because I've been saying that, and I've been saying, you know, Paul, Ekpo was one of the people who was actually calling the bride to espousing like that, was it? And I looked at it, I said, okay. And I was just about to say something. I said, no, let me say, I don't know. Because I really don't know. And I almost said something. Because, you see, it looks like Paul and Peter and those, you know, the 12 apostles were supposed to be to sit in the throne and judge Israel. That's what the Bible said. But when you look at Reuben and Judah and Manasseh and them until Benjamin, you cannot bring them to the bride. But according to the prophet, all those 24 were when this temple is made, which is actually the bride is with Christ. The cherubims around there, 24 elders around there, 24 elders around there, they're inside. And 144,000 are still also there inside. But you know, 144,000 are eunuchs. They're like maids, you know, like a housekeeper or something. You know, the girls that you employ here to make sure that the children and things like that, you know, babysitter or something like that. So is somebody that is employed by God to take care of the bride, you know. They are eunuchs. The 144,000 are eunuchs. They are servants, you know, like that. But now, you cannot call, you know, even if 24,000, and you know, you can easily say that, even if 24,000 are right there, in the Shekinah glory, in the Holy of Holies, where God is, even if they are there, you cannot say they are the bride. The 24. You cannot say the 24 are the bride. You can say Paul is a bride, because he says, I've come to spot that one. But you can say the whole group, I don't have a quote for that. So I said, brother, I don't have a quote for that. He said, no, brother, can't you see? I said, no, let's just leave it there. He put, and I said, I don't want to go any further than he is. I don't want that. And I want to keep it like that. I want just to say, to come where he says it and where he doesn't say it. Because we don't know, unless you give me a quote. He said, I don't see a quote like that. So I just leave it there. This is my point. Let's not add nothing. Let's not bring anything to this. Let's not do it. If we do it, it becomes a denomination. And it becomes a very strong denomination. Even to take away, even to come and say, no, it's not true. You have wars. And it's not the word. It's just an idea that came to the people and brought it here. And that is one of the things that is really making me fear. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to bring it. I'm just going to bring it somewhere. And you pray for me. I love you. And I love the people. I love the people. That's why one time Brother Keenan told me that the only difference, why Polycarp did not become, he said, why Polycarp did not become the messenger of the age is he was not militant enough. And now Brother Keenan was telling me, I'm not militant enough. I want the people to go with the people. I love people. That's true. I love people. And I think I'm militant. I think I'm militant, but I think I'm not militant enough. I can't love people. But one of the things is, I want to be sure. If I be sure this is it, I still got to be pushed by God, because I don't want to part with friends. I want friends. I want them. I want also. So that's why maybe I'm not with enough. Because I love you. I want to be with you. In fact, the other day I was telling Dad, why don't you come back here? I want them. I want them to come back. I want all of us to go together. I love that. That's my love. That I love people and I love to go to. And I don't care whether you're not seeing it, because I believe either you are not seeing it or I'm not seeing it. And one of us will see it by and by if we stay together and love one another. Above everything, love one another. The moment you feel like you don't love a brother, you've gotten away from God. Don't you never tell yourself that you love God and you're with God. It doesn't matter how much revelation you think you have and you love God. If you hate a brother, if you feel something small in your heart, like your brother is not good or your brother or your sister is... like that, you're resenting them. When it comes to that, just know that's the movement that God has moved from you. Or you're moved from God, because it's not God who moves, it's you. Praise God. So above everything, love your brother. Love your sister. Above everything. If you feel like you don't have that, go back to the altar. Go back somewhere. Seek God until you have God in your heart. Praise be to God. So, whatever happens, Don't you put anything to the word. Just leave it the way it is. It's already interpreted. If you don't see it, just leave it there. Just leave it there. It's not time for you to know it. And there's time for you to know it. You just start there, and God will bring it out. Now, pass. And he sent and signified it by measure. So I was saying, and to his servant John. So these are another two men. That's why I say four. There are two angels now. There are two people here. There's the angel and the servant John. Now, who have record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all of the things that he saw. John saw all those things. But he didn't see those things by himself. He didn't see those things by himself. Now, you can ask me a question. Because that's another question that comes. Why couldn't John know it? John was also it can be called a prophet. John could be called a prophet. He was seeing visions. He was a prophet. He was qualified to be called a prophet. Remember, why it's got to be another angel? Why it's got to be another angel is because John, John was not, I don't know which word to use, but John was not the one mandated. Let me see the mandate. John is not the one that was mandated to bring the revelation of this book. John was not the one. There's an angel. The seventh angel is the one, and as we go along, you see that, and very many other quotes that I'm not put here. The seventh angel is the one mandated by the scripture, by the decree of God. God decreed it for his own will, for his own whatever. He did it. He decreed it's the seventh angel. No any other person. However good you are, you cannot. Even Jesus Christ here on earth could not do it. Could not leave it to John. He decreed it. It got to be the seventh angel. This angel must be the seventh angel. It must be a prophet. It's decreed from heaven. It's this man. There's no any other way. And now you wonder, why does God do these things? God has his own reasons. And he doesn't need to tell nobody. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't he tell Jonah? You remember Jonah? Jonah was wondering, God, you have so many people around here. Why don't you send somebody else? There are so many people. You know them. You know people that even stand better than I do. You know my weaknesses. But I think you're not fair. Do you know that Jonah was thinking that God is not fair? Yeah, Jonah was thinking that God is not fair. And with that kind of a thing, mentality that God is not fair, God wants him. There are other people who think you're fair and good and you can deal with. Why don't you go pick one of them and go with them? He said, no, you got to go. He said, listen, I'm not going. I'm a disobedient man. Up to this, I'm not going. I know you. You're gonna assume me when I go there because you're unfair. So I'm not going. And he declared that. And he boarded another ship and went somewhere. Praise be to God. Why can God, you know, listen. The work that was supposed to be done in Nineveh can only be done by the character. Because when you're born here on earth, you're given a character. Even your shape, sister Medicine, even your shape, the way you smile, the way you look, the way you, everything was followed up very keenly until you come here the way he wanted. For some purpose. There are things you do. There are places you go. There are things you are. I cannot. Nobody can. You are special in your own way. And every one of us is special in their own way. And God created you like that for a purpose. And God does not do things for entertainment. No, sir. It's for a purpose. God had a purpose for you. The way you are, don't worry. Maybe you walk very slowly. Maybe you like me. I like walking and everybody in the place of work says, I greet them. Hi. Maybe you're like that. For a purpose. I don't know for what. I don't know. But God has a purpose. You know that kind of that mentality of Jonah? God had a purpose with it. And that's the only person with that kind of mentality that can be sent to Nineveh. Praise be to God. That man, that eighth grade man, with anger like you see, what do you call power so? In Kenya we call it power so. What is it called? Power so, the cut trees. Power so? Power so, that cut trees. Chainsaw. Anger chainsaw. He said he had anger chainsaw. God wanted that man. You tell him to choose another man. That man that took one time, he wanted a gun and he wanted to shoot everybody, to shoot some people because of like that, calling him names like that. That I want that man. You tell anybody else. That man who does not even want to come to the pulpit. He doesn't want a tie. He doesn't want a suit. He doesn't want that. He wants to be in the woods. That's the man he wants. To be the angel of the age. The seventh angel. The messenger of the... Why? I don't know. God decreed. That's the man I want. That's the man I want. You bring him Billy Graham or Roberts with degrees. He doesn't want that. He's not going to take that. I will take that. That short, small man. That doesn't look like. I created him for that. To that end, I created him. To that end, I joined Era Branham, a drunkard. Branham, a drunkard. And Era Branham, a small girl. I joined them together to bring that. God says, he joins this and joins this to bring this. Praise be to God. So nobody else could have done this. Nobody else could have actually revealed this. Nobody else. Nobody else here on earth except the seventh angel. Okay, so this is the seventh angel. So this angel is the seventh angel. We are going to find out that. This is the seventh angel that's going to do that. This is that so. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are in written therein, for the time is at hand now. I go down there in Revelation 1:3. I said it's just a small thing that I wanted us to look at. Those people who are listening in, it's just something for today. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, you unto his servants. Now, I wanted to underline that a bit in that sentence. Here is today, I have a quote there. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about the revelation, whenever Jesus Christ is mentioned, our minds goes to the guy that was here on earth, Jesus Christ. So in other words, it's Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the guy that was here on earth, that now God is trying to make people understand that guy. And if that be the case, then the people who saw him would know him better, like Peter. Peter went with him everywhere. He stayed with him for 3.5 years. Peter followed him for 3.5 years. So wherever he preached and whatever sermon he preached, even Brother Branham, if we go by that, those people who are with Brother Branham, actually, and they have that. They say we were with Brother Branham. And that sounds like it's something to quieten us, to make us quiet, so that they can have, because they have an upper hand, because they were with Brother Branham. They walked with him, they hunted with him, and that's true, they saw things that we didn't see. Praise be to God. But the revelation is not given like that. The revelation is faith. Revelation is not by just seeing you with your eyes. No, sir, that's not it. Okay, let's read here and we see how it comes. And here he is today, in the same manner, by the same pillar of fire, expressing himself, that is in the book called Christ, the mystery of God revealed, expressing himself, and vindicating himself, revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation of the world. Now listen, he's now revealing more. He's revealed more than Peter saw. Paul here on earth said they were seeing darkly in the grass. They didn't understand what was happening. Paul, even those and Paul, I'm going to read a quote here. As soon as Paul knew Jesus better than Peter, and Peter was with him. I hope you understand that. Peter was with him, but he understood Jesus better. Paul understood Jesus better than Paul. Paul, who stayed with him, slept with him, hunted with him, everywhere, they went together. Praise be to God. They went to missions together. He understood Jesus so much. Even at one time, Jesus declared that he has been revealed who he was by the Father. In other words, he knew him because he was asked, who do people say I am? And everybody was, he said, you are the Son of the Most High God. He said, that has not been taught you by anything else, but it's not even by me. It's by the Father. In other words, the Father has revealed it to you. But yet, even though the Father has revealed it to you, who I am, Paul knows better. Paul, who didn't even see me, Paul knows more than you. It's not by sights. It's not by seeing. You're not being with Abraham. No. It's God. It's by God revealing it in your heart. Now it's revealed. I would say this. This is by paragraph 247. But it's now known more than they knew when he was the Brother Branham. I met a few people. One of them is Brother Holmes that were with Brother Branham. I met a few people. And those guys didn't know, and they know. But now it's revealed, and they will tell you it's now more revealed than then. When they were brother. They know better. They know much more. Like Brother Jones, in one of the books Brother Jones wrote, we didn't understand what he was saying exactly. Now we do. One of the brother Jones. They were there before him. It's not by sight. It's not by that. It's not that. It's God revealing it in your heart. God is not dealing with these bodies. It's not these bodies. It's not about these bodies. It's not about this bodies. It's not about intellect. It's not your brain. It's not your intellect. It's God. It's something that happens in you. And it opens up inside of you. And you start seeing. Some of the things we see, we are not even able to explain. We just see it and it's there. It's there. It's there. It's revealed. Paul only knew him by revelation. Peter knew him by revelation. You think Peter knew him because he saw him? No. No, Peter didn't know him by... Even though he knew that is Jesus. If Jesus was walking away, and Peter was here, walking away from the back, Peter would know him. It's just like Michael. Michael, there's no way you can hide from me. If they're looking for me, if they're looking for you, they will come. Do you know that guy? Yes, I know him so much that anywhere, even at night, Michael walking at night, I'll tell you, that's Michael. That's how Peter knew him. But that does not mean Paul did not see him. That does not mean that Paul did not know him as much. No, Paul knew, because it's not the body. It's not that body. It's not the size. No size. No that. It's something else. It's God doing something in your head, opening it, and now you know it. This is the truth. All right. Okay. He walked with him, talked with him. Therefore, you can say it in this word. Now listen what the prophet is going to say. Therefore, you can say it in this word. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you can say it in this word. Now, I've just said that. He was the word. Now, as Korah can sit down here, down and lead that word, till he can just tie your mind up in a way, see, if he wants to do it, because he's smart, brilliant. Somebody who knows the quotes, who knows the Bible, who knows, he can take and tie you up like that. Brilliant. Get a Catholic priest, or not so much as a real good trained theologian, as a real trained theologian in the Bible. Brother, a Baptist or a Presbyterian or something. He'll make you think that you don't know nothing. See, when it comes to talk, what? See, because that he has known him in the flesh. You don't know him by the flesh. And the same case, you don't know a brother by the flesh. Praise be to God. You know him by the Christ that is in him. By the revelation of the word that is in him. Whether he's a brother or he's a sister, you know him because he believes this word. He runs this word. He's come to this word. You know that. I don't care, Michael, who your father, your mother, your grandfather. I don't care about that. I care about one thing. I want to see Christ and Christ crucified in your heart. That's all I know. That's all, and you're right, that's all. Christ and those sins were paid for. Your life is paid for. You are a new creation. You are something like that. That's all I know. That's all I need to know. Your ancestors, maybe they were witches. Whatever, I don't care. You are this. I don't care about all that. This is a new creation. There's a new somebody, completely new somebody. My sins are paid for. He died for me. That's all I want to know. Okay. But the only way you are saved is by know him by revelation. That's the only way you're saved. Paragraph 250. But the only way you are saved is by know him by revelation. All right. Did you notice? I think it's the same book. I cut the title there. It's Christ is the Master of God revealed through paragraph 242. Did you notice? Paul never knew Jesus physically. Paul never knew him. The only way that Paul knew him was by revelation. by a vision. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Paul only knew Jesus by the revelation, just like Peter did. Though Peter lived with him, Peter knew him, knew him by revelation. Not by that. Okay. Peter had seen him in flesh, but he didn't know him by flesh. Because Jesus said so. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the thing to you. That he is the word of God. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Every one of us, he will build his church on that. He will build us upon that, upon the revelation of the word of God. Upon this revelation that God gave to Jesus. That is where he built us, all of us. Revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of this word. We are built upon that. And it was brought by openly. It was completely opened. And remember, all that time, in the church ages, that tree was not open. That Jesus Christ, the tree, was sealed. And he was interceding for our ignorance, because we didn't know. It was not known. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew these things that we know. Nobody knew. He was still. You cannot complain that somebody is not knowing and you're not opening to them. They didn't know. That is why he was there. Father, forgive them. They don't know. That's why they even crucified him. They don't know. But when the tree, Jesus Christ, is open now, and the sword is sheathed, now you can say, he's there, he's open for us to eat him. Praise be to God. The revelation is right there. Okay. Heaven has revealed the thing to you. Okay. It's just like that. Then, all right. Okay. Paul had something greater than any of the apostles did. See? All right. Now you understand. All right. How did Brother Branham meet John? That's another thing. Now I've gone to something else. How did Brother Branham meet John? I'm saying they had to meet. John had to come to Brother Branham. How did they meet? Now, in Revelation 1:10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There's something there that is written in that quote down there. If you read, you follow the quote a bit. It connects like, now we cannot know him. I don't know why it says like that. I don't know whether Brother Branham looked at that when it was written by Lee Bell. I don't know whether he looked at that, because to me, it is now. There's something there that I really don't understand what he's saying. But that's down that quote. It's not here. It's down that quote when you read that quote. It says like, it's not now. To me, is now. To me, is now. To me, is happening. But there are very many quotes that seems like the rapture is coming like that, and those things. But I understand it. I know it's now. Okay, but let's see. Let's look at this. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now listen. What is the Lord's day? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, we are talking about 2,000 years ago. He was there. That is when he was. When Jesus had just died and he was taken to the Isle of Patmos, and he's suffering there. John is suffering there. And that is where he was seeing those things. John was transported, and the prophet is going to say that. John was transported from there by God. God, I'm saying, don't. If you go interact with so much, you're gonna clash with God. Because God does things sometimes you don't. How can he bring him? God is God. He does these things the way he wants them. He brought John here. Why can John have the revelation himself? Why from God to Jesus, to an angel, to John? Why all that protocol? Why can he go direct to John? John was with Jesus. Why could Jesus appear to him and tell him those things? There is a way God works. God took John from there and brought him here to the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? What is the day of the Lord? The Bible says, when the days of men are over. When were the days of men? There was the days of Paul. The age of Paul. Is that right? Yeah, the first Ephesian church age was the age of Paul. There's the age of Irenaeus. Those are the ages of men. Those were the ages, the age of Paul, like that. Until they are over, the seals will never be revealed. It will never be revealed until it's over. The full revelation will never come until it's over. Until the seals were, that's a very big demarcation right there. Until the seals were revealed, they were seeing darkness. It doesn't matter, even Brother Branham, Even Brother Branham, in the seventh church, before the seals were opened, he was seeing darkness like in the grass. Every one of them. Because those were the days of men. Now he was transported from those days of men to the day of Christ. When is the day of Christ? When the days of men are over. When the church ages are over. For those who are listening in, there's a quote that says, Brother Branham, I heard you say, I heard you preach and you said that the church ages are over. Audition is over. Did you mean that? He said, No. That's not right. Maybe you heard it wrong. The church, the audition is all not over. Church ages is not over. And by the way, is after the seals. And that confuses me. That really confuses people. That confuses people. When there are other quotes that are saying plainly. In fact, one of them, he says, if I come with a message of Pentecost, I would be in Laodicea or Odyssea. And that would be wrong. You see that? You see that? He says very many things in many ways. When in 1965, he says all those things, then he says, no, you heard it wrong. That's not right. What is it? Look here. I've discovered, Brother Michael, very many people are now listening in when we talk, because I'm talked to, you know, you say this, brother, what do you mean? That? Yeah, so I'm here. Now listen very well about that quote. Laodicea is not finished. Laodicea was not only about God and things of God. No. Laodicea was about the rights of women, the rights of people, the way the people are governed, about economy. You see, the prophet says Laodicea was the only city in those days, and it's typed by today, that they were using gold coins. We now have, as economy, we either back our economy with gold in our reserves. In other countries, they keep dollars. That's why America is so powerful. They either keep dollars or keep gold. So gold is still there. And according to America, America is supposed to have reserves of gold to back the economy, so that when other people, and I'm not an economist, but when other people back, and she is, so I'm ashamed when I'm talking about this in front of you. You see that? But now, when we back, like Kenya, we back our economy with dollars, and you people don't back it with gold, then that's wrong. That's going to crush us. That's going to crush us somehow along the way. So. This is the time when gold is being used. In Laodicea, this is when the gold was being used. That was the set when they had the rights of women, the rights of this, the rights of gays, the rights of this. That's what is continuing. Those things are, Laodicea is continuing, and it's going to continue to the end. Laodicea is not over. The things of the world are continuing. But God, the way he was dealing with his people, it's over. He's finished with Laodicea and the way he was dealing with the church ages. He turned around and said, I got what I've been looking for. All the church ages, I was looking for one thing. I was looking for my bride. I've got my bride. I've got the 144,000. I'm done now. I'm not in the church ages no more now. It can continue. And it will continue. And the wise, the intelligent people will be so high. And people multiply, it will continue like that. Praise be to God. And the prophet says, their intelligence, their wisdom, that is not wisdom, it's just intellect. Their intellect will destroy them. They will make bombs and things. That is Laodicea, it will continue. But I'm not in Laodicea. I'm not, is it Laodicea? How am I saying that? In Laodicea. We say Laodicea in Kenya, don't we, sister? Say Laodicea in Kenya. Laodicea. Laodicea continues. And if you continue to the end, Laodicea is here. You see all this confusion and things like that? That will continue. People continue killing one another and things like that. And God is not even talking to them. The Holy Ghost has gone up. The Holy Ghost is raptured. That's exactly right. It's not in the church. It's not. They are dry as dry can be. Praise be to God. Where is him? He's with the bridegroom. He's with the bride. End of the 144. He's nowhere else. He talks to the bride. He talks. They are in judgment. They are judged. They are judged as non-believers. So don't be confused when we say the day of men is over. The days of men are over. So John was transported to the day of the Lord. He was taken, because he was in the days of men, he was taken to now, when the days of men are over, and was brought here to the day of the Lord. Which is the day of the... Who is our messenger, by the way? Our messenger, the messenger of the bride is the bridegroom. The messenger of the bride is the Lord Jesus Christ. The messenger, after the church ages are over, the messenger, who brings us the message, is not a human being, it's him. The other times were Paul. The other times was Irenaeus. The other times was Brother Branham. No, when Brother was over, the messenger now is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ talks to your heart. I can stand here and talk as much as I want. Brother Branham can talk as much, and you can listen those books, those tapes. You can listen all of them and study them. Even in theological schools are studying them. And yet, he has not talked to you. He talks to an individual, and he talks to the heart. For those who have ears, they can hear. There are people who, and don't throw them away. If they come here, non-believers come here, don't worry, they will not hear. No. There's only a group of people can hear this. Nobody else. Only a group of people that are elected to hear this. They are predestinated to hear this. And when they hear this, those are their names. Even those non-believers, if he is elected and predestinated, if he has that seed in them, you just flush it there. You just flush it there. And, okay, what is it? Oh. The other people go, nonsense, nothing. I will go. But I don't, okay, let me look again. Okay, I would like to hear it again. He might not even believe one time, or second time, or that time. But I think it's now started. It's now started. And it will start them until one day we see them here, wanting to know more. What is it? Their names are called. Your name is... Your name is not medicine here. Your name is not Esther. Your name, that's not your name. That's not your name, according to God. Your name is this, and this is you. I was talking last night, and I was saying, when you die, what goes? When you say someone has died, something has gone. What has gone? It's your spirit and soul. That's exactly right. And in that soul of yours, there's something here that is this. Sister, brother, is this. When it is said, something stirs in you. When it is said wrong, you haigongi. That is not touching. It's not there. It's not connecting. It's not right. Something is not. Praise God. Why that soul right there? That soul is predestinated. That soul is this. That's the thinking's man filter. Is this. When you talk this, I'm talking you. When you read it, I'm leading you. That's how you hear your name. I heard my name. And for those people, maybe who are expecting children, things like that, those children who come, don't worry, they will come because they have it. Don't worry. God will put that inside there when they're born here or not. It will just be there. And when they come, they will say, okay, that's me. I'm being called. That's my name. That's me. praise be to God. All right. I may not finish this, but that's okay. But the day of the Lord is coming, yes. I think this is what I was talking about. The day of the Lord is coming. It's here. This is the day of the Lord. This is when John was brought. When the seals were revealed, and he knew those things when they were revealed. It is just that, at that time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, John was taken up by the Spirit and transported by the Spirit to that great day that is coming, the Lord's day, when the days of men are over. This is now kind of talking about it, like it's in the future. I'm saying this is now. John was brought here. John was not even brought when the prophet had not revealed the seals. No. And there's something else, when I come down there, you're going to find, maybe I will say it, because it's coming to my mind. I have had a lot of, it's not disagreement, It's no disagreement. But people talk. When I say this, people talk, and I feel like, okay, I don't want to argue, but I'm not going to take it like that. They don't. And one of the brothers sent me a message and told me, I don't understand. And he's a great preacher, brother. That really tossed me a bit. A great preacher. He told me, I don't understand how you see, and that you refuse this quote because it is before 1963, and you accept this because it's after 1963. I looked at him, okay, I don't know even where to start with you now, because I thought you're a great preacher. He's preaching all over. He's preaching even in the internet and things like that. I said, I don't know what to say. And one of the things is the three things that Lily has really brought me somewhere. The three things that he does before he comes. To me, he does them before he comes. He don't do them when he's here. People put it like he's done them when he's here. The three things, a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. He does them before he comes. That's the problem. And he has said that about four or three times in the book called, The Rapture. He says that about three times. Those things happen before, as he has said, before he arrives. As he descends, before he comes. Those things are like the shout. Hold the shout. The message. Now people say, and I'm going to read a quote here. That's why I'm remembering it, because I read it before I just come here. They say that what we are talking about now, this message, and remember, brothers, I put a little difference. I mark it down. I underline it. This is a little difference. Don't mix it. There's a great difference between when the seals were revealed and before the seals were revealed. That's not our message. We read it. We bring quotes about that before the seals. But that's not our message. That's not. This is our message after the seals. If you don't see it, and you can bring it if you don't see it. If you don't see it in the after the seals, no problem. If the prophet said it, that's okay. But if the prophet said anything different here, that's what you're going to take. We don't take that. It's a simple thing. It's a simple principle, but people override it very much. People go over it like it's nothing. To me, it's very, 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 very important. It's very, very important. So the shout is the message. I agree, because he says like that. The shout is the message. But that shout is not this message. That's really confusing. That message is not this message. That message is the message before the seals. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bit confusing. But that's it. The message. Yeah, because the message, this message is not even spoken by Brother Branham. He says he took my mouth. It's him when he came. When he came, he took over. Praise be to God. Now, there's a confusion there. Because you're going to tell me, even before, he was in Brother Branham. Because he was revealing himself and showing that Jesus Christ is here. And saying, if Jesus comes here in this coat and turns around and proves that Jesus Christ is here. Can you see that? That was still not fully as in, that was the second pool. Praise be to God. Because the seals were not revealed. What is it? Though he was in Brother Branham, the prophet says the spirit of truth had not come on earth. There were still things that like in the sixth. This is the example that I give that is very plain. Like in 1962, he says, we know polygamy is wrong. Then he keeps quiet. Another one is, the sword was a theophany. Then he keeps quiet and he realizes, okay, I don't understand this, or something happened. And he doesn't talk about it. He says nothing from there, from 1962. He says nothing about theophany until he comes to 1965, 3 years later. And he says, because the seals are revealed, a new revelation upon the message. Praise be to God. And he says, the Son of Man has been revealed in heaven, from heaven, for a long time now. That's in heaven, that's in heaven. The spirit of truth had not come to the earth yet. But when it came to the earth, it's when the seals were revealed, the spirit of truth came to the earth and everything was open. Now we can go there and look. Can I tell you something else? The tree of life, which is Jesus Christ, before the seals, it was still. It was still sealed. Which is Jesus Christ, it was still sealed. Until that sheath was taken by the seal. When the seals were open, now the cherubims that were put there by God in the Garden of Eden to guard the tree of life now tells you come. Before they are revealed, he doesn't tell you come. Though the prophet is saying he's here. He's proving that he's in one man. Praise be to God. Making squeals. Those are great things that he was doing. Showing that he's here on earth. I think I would like to bring, I would like to bring one time maybe the third pool and the second pool. You know, the second pool and third pool, I just see them the same. I just see the same. The third pool is after the seals are opened. Before the third pool was God in one man. The spirit of truth had not come here on earth. People did not know it. But the third pool is when it comes and now it gets into people. But that's me. I see things that sometimes I don't know whether they are really like that, but that's all right. Okay. It's just that this time of revelation, Jesus Christ, John was, the Lord's day is when the days of men are over. All right. Okay, I've said that. And let me come down here. Okay. Do you believe that the time when John on the Isle of Patmos, this message was perfect, that he couldn't trust in the angel, with an angel? I think I'm reading on the fifth seal. This is the fifth seal. This is the fifth seal. I don't know whether I'm gonna. Let me just read Marathon now. Let me just read. He could not trust it with an angel. You know, an angel is a messenger. But do you know the messenger was a prophet? That was not an angel. That was not Gabriel. You wonder why he could not trust it with Gabriel to bring it to. Because the prophet says, who is greater? An angel before God, that cherubim before God, or you, the member of the bride in his chamber. You see that? Who is higher? Who is higher? The guy, maybe Michael, you had a very good ranch, you have cows and things like that, and you have employed some Mexicans and they're going around taking care of the cows. Who is greater? That guy, Mexican guy that works for you, or Mendocino? You get as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Who is greater, that cherubim or you who is in the chamber with God himself? You are greater. Do you see that? That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So he cannot even trust it. He cannot even trust it with an angel. That's so important. This is bread food. This is so important. It cannot be trusted with nobody else. It's got to be an angel, a messenger, a prophet. All right. He's greater. All right. You know, an angel is a messenger. But you know, the messenger was a prophet. You believe that? Let's prove it. Revelation 22. Let's see if it was ego. Yeah, see, it was an angel. He's a messenger. But it was a prophet that revealed this whole book. Now the prophet says, this whole book was revealed by a messenger. This whole book was revealed by a messenger. Okay, whole book of Revelation to him. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and 19th verse. And this is the second one. The first one is Revelation 18, verse 10. This is the same thing. An angel came to worship him and said, don't worship me. I'm your brother. Okay. But he brings Revelation 22. I may be wrong on time. Okay, he says about the scripture might be wrong. The verse. But actually, it is Revelation 22, verse 8. Okay, that's right. Oh, yes, here. He said, he to me says, say, thou do it not, for I am of thy fellow servants and thy brethren of the prophets. Watch what John seen here. I, John, saw these things and heard them. Now, he's closing. This is the chapter. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed these things. That angel came twice. Or it is recorded twice. I don't know whether it came twice or is, but it's recorded twice. In Revelation 18, verse 10, and Revelation 22, verse 8. This is Revelation 22, verse 8. And he then, the angel, see, he said, he to me, so thou do it not. Not, verse 2:8. Not true prophet would be worshipped, or messenger, of any kind, see, that's God alone. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I'm the Pharaoh's servant. Who is Pharaoh's servant? Just a prophet like you, John. That's a Pharaoh's servant. Just a prophet like you. And not only that, I'm a man born of a woman. I'm going to prove it. And of thy brethren. Who brethren? You're not brethren to angels. You're not brethren to angels. The angel did not need any redemption. You needed redemption. That you're different. So that's not an angel. He's a man. This angel that actually was giving this to John was another angel. That's what it means. And my brethren, of the prophets, he was a prophet. And of them that keep the sayings of this book, do you know the angels don't keep the sayings of this book? This book is for us. This is a book of redemption. There's a book of redemption. It's we who need redemption. They just don't. Okay. God, because that's who the word of God comes. Okay. Saints of this worship God. You see, the book was important that it is the word of God. Now watch, paragraph 209. Watch. And when the word of God is brought forth, it's got to be brought by the prophet, because that's who the word of God come to. All right. My dear brother, sister, is a question that asked, why could he worship the angel? Why did Jesus refuse to be worshipped? My dear brother or sister, whoever it is not Jesus that would not receive worship. In Revelation 22, verse 8, you read it, it was the prophet angel who would not, it was a prophet who not receive worship. When John fell down to worship the angel that he had showed him these things, it's just the same thing that he said in a different way. Okay, I'm going to leave it that. It wasn't Jesus. I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to down there in the... I don't know how I read these things, because like that's a confusion now, because that's not supposed to be there, the breach. I think I took out a quote there. I took out a quote or something. Forgive me for that. I took out a quote there, and forgive me for that. That breach is not supposed to be there, but I'm in the book called The Breach. It's not supposed to be on the top. It's supposed to be I'm in the same book called The Breach. But paragraph 49, it's not supposed to be there. My titles are down there. Breaches down after the quote. Seven seals on the book as paragraph 49. This seven seals was the book sealed. See, the book is absolutely sealed. Do you see it? The book is absolutely a sealed book until the seven seals broken. Until the seven seals is broken, it is a sealed book. Okay. It's sealed up with seven seals. Now, that's different from the seven that I see. This is the seven seals of the book. And the book will not, now listen to this, the book will not, the seals will not be released until the message of the seventh angel. It's the seventh angel who nobody else is mandated to bring this, except it cannot, even the seals cannot be brought. And that's why the Brother Branham could not even have killed himself. You know, he tried to kill him. He could not. This has got to come. God had to protect that until, okay now, sounding ridiculous, okay. Before that, we are just presuming the message should be finished at that time. That is Revelation 10, verse 1-7. Now, that's my comments. Those are my comments there. I should not even have put them. The seal will not be revealed until Brother Branham comes. The truth will not be known until the seventh angel, compared with the foreign quote. But now that the seals are, that's the marriage in force. But now that the seals are revealed, are opened, the spirit of truth directs us to the word. That explains why all the mystics, all the mystics that were there in the church ages were there, because the spirit of truth had not come. Even when the prophet is saying that God is here, still, the spirit of truth has not come. All right. The last quote. Watch here is a verse I want to get to. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that is actually the verse 7 of Revelation 10. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Now see, the mystery of this seven sealed book will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh church age message. See, the seventh angel begins to sound, and there is the message. That's why I told you that's a shout. That's a shout right there. And it starts to sound, and there is the message wrote out there. And we got it in the tape and book form. If you look, that is the breach. So we have not come to the seals. That's before the seals. And the tapes is there. The shout is already there. Okay. At the beginning of the sounding of the message, the mystery of God should be finished. See, at that time. Now, we will notice the book of the mystery of God is not revealed until the seven ages message is sounded. It had to be Brother Branham. Let's pray. We are thankful, Father, for the fire, O Lord God, you've brought us. We know we are not where we began. But Lord, we want more. We want more. This is our food, Lord. We always hunger. We feel like, Lord, we cannot have you enough, Lord God. We want you all the time, Lord. Help us, Father, to surrender. Help us to come closer to you. Help us in all ways, Lord, because we cannot do without you. We commit our lives to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. So God bless you, Brother Michael. Are you dismissed? Okay. You're dismissed. God bless you.